This is the word of the Lord. It's taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, on page 43 of the Church Bible. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father God, may your Holy Spirit open ears to hear this morning, and Lord, hearts that respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I've never been totally happy with my name. I guess Roger isn't too bad. Yes, often people say Roger the Dodger or Roger the Lodger, which I can cope with, I guess, but my surname, Whip, I'm less comfortable with, after numerous sort of nicknames about being Mr. Whippy and things like that, and innuendos regarding masochistic or sadistic connotations. I'll leave you to use your own imagination. Unfortunately, I had no say in what my name was to be, and neither did these unfortunate people who are true people. I got these out of a book. Justin Case, Barb Dwyer, Paige Turner, Doug Hole, and Stan Still, just to name a few. However, I must admit, I do also laugh at other people's expense when I come across such names, especially if they're linked to businesses, such as Phil McCavity, the Irish dentist, Dan Druff, the barber, and two men with the surnames Goforth and Ketchum actually became partners in the police force. And would you feel secure hiring a plasterer by the name of Will Crumble? And every week in the Romford Recorder, there's an advertisement for a roofer whose name is C. Leak. What's in a name? A name to the Hebrews meant far more than it means to most of us. When we give our children their names, we don't often think, does this name have any meaning? For example, Anne means beloved. David means a man after God's own heart. And Catherine means pure. How I wish that the church was filled with more Davids, Annes and Catherines bringing credit to their names. Isaiah was known as the Prince of Prophets due to his passion and the amount of prophecy. He's certainly the most quoted prophet in the New Testament, being mentioned 66 times. And his name also had an appropriate meaning. Isaiah means that the Lord saves, salvation belongs to God. And his sons' names were also relevant. Shear, Jashub, and that meant a remnant will return. I mean, how prophetic was that? 200 years, some of the remnant returned to Jerusalem from captivity in Babylon. His other son was Shalab Hashbaz. Forgive me if I haven't pronounced that right. I don't think there's too many theologians here this morning. I can see one or two. But anyway, that's how I would pronounce it. And that means quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. Now, in other words, don't wait too long to seek and to gain your salvation. On Wednesday at George's funeral, we heard how long he put off that decision to take that step of faith. And although we can rejoice that at the age of 85, he got his passport to heaven. I know in hindsight, he would have wished to have taken that decision a lot earlier and benefited from the reward of trust in Christ while living an earthly life and not just in his heavenly life. Now, God says there's a great deal of importance in a name, especially when it's his name. The most distinctive name by which God was known in Israel is Yahweh. We sometimes sing that song, don't we, at the 10:45, about Yahweh. And God's name was so sacred that the Jews would not even say that name, Yahweh. So they took letters from the words Yahweh and spelt it YHWH. And to pronounce those four letters comes the word Jehovah. And Jehovah comes from the same root as I am. George W. Bush, in an airport lobby, noticed a man in a long flowing white robe and a long flowing white beard and flowing white hair. And the man had a staff in one hand and some stone tablets under the other arm. Now, George W., being quite an intelligent man, he approached this guy and inquired, "Aren't you Moses?" The man ignored George W. And George W. inquired, "Aren't you Moses?" And once again, the man just ignored him and looked up at the ceiling. And then George W. positioned himself more directly in the man's field of view. And he tugged at his sleeve and asked again, "Aren't you Moses?" And the man finally responded in a very irate voice, "Yes, I am." And George W. asked him, "Why are you so unfriendly?" And Moses replied, "Well, the last time I spoke to a bush, I had to spend 40 years in the desert." Okay, it's a joke and probably quite a corny joke. I'll pay loads that laughed later. But let's never forget that Moses never had an easy life doing God's work. And neither will we. I'm sure that most people in either lay or ordained ministry will get frustrated, disappointed, feel undervalued, sometimes feel inadequate for the task in hand. But I doubt if it will ever reach what Moses had to go through whilst confronting Pharaoh or his wilderness experience that lasted 40 years. Whereas, you know, if the people had been obedient to God, they would have entered the promised land in months, not years. Moses himself was not allowed to enter the land of milk and honey due to just one moment of what we might have considered a justifiable act of frustration when he hit the rock with his staff. Let's put ourselves in Moses' shoes, or perhaps I should say sandals. Although many years had passed, he was still wanted for murder in Egypt. He considered himself to be totally inadequate, especially in the verbal department. Yet God wasn't asking Moses to work alone. He offered resources to help, as he always will, to fulfill his purpose. I guess that's one way of testing if something is of God or whether it's come from our own agenda. For Moses, it was his brother Aaron. He also had the ability to minister miracles. And of course, he had the power of God with him. At the time, the Egyptians had many gods with many different names. And Moses wanted to know which God he would be dealing with. You know, he was rather hoping that they would respond if they recognise God's name. However, God tells Moses, "I am who I am," signifying that he was the only God that mattered, the only one true God, describing his eternal power and his unchangeable character. When I was in the police force, or should I call it service now, trying to be politically correct, I was called to Dixon's in East Ham High Street. A shop assistant was suspicious of a smartly dressed middle-aged man who was trying to buy large amounts of electrical goods with his credit card. This man was adamant that he was who he says he was, the signature on the payment slip. No such things as PIN numbers in those days. He even suggested that we went to his home where he could produce documents to prove it. However, I, like the shop assistant, wasn't happy with him, especially when he mentioned people he knew in the police force, and that if I was to arrest him, my job might be on the line. Probably the worst thing that you could ever say to a police officer. So, of course, I arrested him. Now, when arrested and taken to the police station, all your property is taken off you and it's listed on a charge sheet and it has to be signed by the person who owns that property. So just to make sure that nothing goes missing. And guess what? Yeah, as he went to sign for his property, he signed his real name, a different name to which he tried to use in the shop. And he looked at me and said, "Oh, blow." Well, something a bit stronger than that, but it's Sunday, so I won't swear. He said, "You've got me banged to rights." And it transpired that he was responsible for over £1.5 million worth of fraud. And that was in the early 80s. So you can imagine the extent that he was at it. The same God who spoke to Moses and Isaiah speaks to us today. Some Christians tend to forget that Hebrews 13 verse 8 tells us this: God is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Today he is the same eternal, one true and unchanging God that Moses spoke to. Today we have even more resources than Moses had, even if they may not seem quite as dramatic as the miracles God used to release the captives out of Egypt. However, amazing miracles still happen to release captives. We have more scriptures, including the New Testament. We have numerous books, commentaries, DVDs, etc. And we have testimonies over centuries of God at work. But more importantly, we have Jesus. We have seen God humble himself by manifesting himself in human form to experience earthly life, and to give us teaching and example how we should live out our lives. Now, unlike the man that I arrested, Jesus is not an imposter or a fraudster. He is the real deal. He is the God I am. Do you realise that Jesus fulfilled all 39 of Isaiah's prophecies given 700 years before his birth? Jesus is the same I am. If you get a chance, read John 14, and it should help you to understand the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as he spells it out to his disciples. And previously in the book of John, he told his disciples, I am the bread of life, John 6, 13. I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. I am the gate, John 12, verse 9. I am the good shepherd, John 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, verse 25. And I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. Verse 6. A boss was complaining in a staff meeting that he wasn't getting any respect. Later that morning, he went to W.H. Smith's and he bought a small sign that read, I am the boss. And he taped it on his office door. Later that day, when he returned from lunch, he found that someone had taped a note to the sign that said, Your wife called, she wants her sign back. And that is the question that I ask today. Who really is the boss? And I don't really mean in our domestic situation. I'm talking here about our spiritual life. Yes, Moses and Isaiah were mighty men of God, but God was the boss. He was in charge. And in closing, let's ask ourselves this challenging question. If asked, who are we? Do we respond, I am who I am? Or could we answer, I am who God wants me to be? I guess I'm not alone in stating that when I cock up, I'm only human, nobody is perfect. And that's right. Even the Bible says he's without sin is a liar. Or maybe we settle for an easy life, go with the flow, where maybe we should be speaking out in an ever-changing world where values, morals, and even laws contradict the word of God. For example, and no doubt somebody will call me a bigot, how can a Christian condone a law that is going to force churches to marry gays, same-sex marriage? Meg and I recently had the privilege of having dinner with Lord George Carey, the ex-Archbishop of Canterbury. It's only a couple of weeks ago. And we were challenged very much, like everyone there, by his after-dinner talk. And it was encouraging us to, once again, look at what we believe in. And to look at what has become unacceptable practices in our once Christian country. I'm hoping that I can get a recording, I think I will be able to, of that, if anyone wants to hear it. You know, let us seek and find the courage of Moses and Isaiah as we walk with God, who is and always will be, I am who I am. It will not always be easy. At least we probably won't be sawn in half like Isaiah was. But with the God I am who I am, Yahweh, we can succeed. And we know that through Jesus we will enter into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us when we have perhaps strayed from your ways, from your will and purpose. Lord, let us never forget that when you came back as Jesus, you told us you had not come to change the law, but to fulfill it. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give us the boldness to stand up and to be counted when we need to. May your Holy Spirit show us, Lord, what is the difference between right and wrong. And Lord, Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. I pray that we never abuse that freedom. I ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen.